Tampa resident Ferris Stokes was in high school during the 60s, a time before Roe v. Wade. She said some of her classmates had their youth cut short because of limited access to contraception.
In my senior class, there were probably, I'd say, 8 or 10 that already had babies, and there were at least another 8 or 10 that were pregnant in my senior class. That was because we were not allowed to have birth control, because nice girls didn't need birth control, so you couldn't get it unless you were married, and then there was no abortion. So that's what happened.
Stokes said privileged girls who got pregnant would be sent away to states where abortion was legal, though not every girl had that option.
There were a few I knew that went to visit an aunt in Connecticut or Arizona, New York, I think it was, were the places. They would just go away for a few months and then come back. And they went, you know, visiting someone. That's what they were doing. But there were very few, and those were only the ones that had, their family had the means to do it.
Stokes was demonstrating in front of Planned Parenthood's local headquarters against a series of laws that would limit a woman's ability to terminate a pregnancy. Barbara Dravecki, CEO of Southwest and Central Florida Planned Parenthood, said the state legislature is targeting women for no good reason.
It's time, for your daughter's sake and for your granddaughter's sake, to stop this war on women in the state of Florida.
At issue are several proposed laws the House passed yesterday targeting a woman's ability to get an abortion. Two of them passed the Senate today. HJR 1179 places an amendment on the 2012 ballot that, if passed by 60% of voters, would place a ban on public funding for the procedure in the state constitution. It's already banned by federal law. Southwest and Central Florida Planned Parenthood spokesperson Wendy Sears Grassy said anything that would limit coverage for women's health care is outrageous and unconstitutional.
There's a lot of women who can't afford the procedure and rely on insurance, so it's going to limit a lot of women's access to their constitutional right to abortion.
There are 6 anti-abortion laws in all. One, HB 501, would channel proceeds from sales of Florida's Choose Life license plates to a pro-life nonprofit providing health care to pregnant women. Another, HB 1397, further limits third trimester abortions. HB 1247 toughens parental notification requirements for minors. HB 97 bars health exchanges created by the Affordable Care Act from covering the procedure. That one also passed the Senate today. Championed by the likes of Valrico Senator Rhonda Storms, the most controversial abortion bill of all may be HB 1127. It requires women seeking abortions to have an ultrasound, though they can opt out of reviewing the image or hearing a doctor's description of it.
Senator Storms believes that an ultrasound is needed because women are too stupid to know what we are doing and what we need.
That's Joyce Hamilton Henry, director of the Mid-Florida Regional Office of the ACLU. The ultrasound bill is nearly identical to a bill that former Governor Charlie Crist vetoed last year. Hamilton Henry said requiring that certain speech take place between a woman and her doctor is a violation of the Freedom of Speech Clause of the First Amendment.
Medical conversations, decisions, and treatments are the most serious and private types of speech. Like all speech, it should not be regulated, forced, manipulated, or interfered with by big government.
In Tampa yesterday, Democratic U.S. Representative from Tampa, Kathy Castor, said the law seems to contradict the right of privacy outlined in the state constitution.
It's so ironic that so many politicians who like to complain about government and other people's lives, when it comes to women's health, they try to enter the doctor's office and interfere with that relationship between a doctor and a woman and their priest, and they need to take more of a hands-off approach and leave. I trust families and doctors and the priests and rabbis to make those decisions rather than a cadre in Tallahassee in the Florida legislature.
Planned Parenthood's Wendy Sears Grassy said the laws add up to an attack on women's health, and if the legislature really wants to address the issue of unwanted pregnancy, more lawmakers would file bills dealing with prevention.
The legislature refuses to pass any kind of family planning help. I don't know what they think they're doing.
Many of those recently elected to the state legislature won their seats with help from a recession-torn electorate convinced that Tea Party Republicans would create jobs by lowering taxes and abolishing stringent regulations. Sears Grassy said the past few days show what the legislature's GOP supermajority is really about.
They spent 2 whole days this week, 2 whole days wasted in the legislature on these bills to attack women's health. I mean, it's really outrageous. This state is, you know, dying economically. People don't have jobs. People are thrown out of their houses. Why aren't they spending every minute on these people, helping these people? It's just, it's unconscionable. They shouldn't be public servants.
U.S. Representative Kathy Castor said yesterday that the bills do nothing less than impair access to quality health care for women.
Oftentimes, women are in very critical medical situations, and to think that a legislator in Tallahassee is going to stand in the way of the health needs of a woman simply is unconscionable.
Once passed, all bills require the signature of Governor Rick Scott, an extreme conservative who will likely sign them into law. Groups including Planned Parenthood and the ACLU say they will fight the bills, even if it means taking legal action, if the bills make it onto the books. From Tampa, for WMNF News, I'm Kate Bradshaw.